there is a response in your life. Anytime you get threatened, you either run or something just rises up in you and you say, I'm not going to allow that to dominate me. This week I saw maybe the same video you saw at a TSA. Someone was checking through the line, and a briefcase or a suitcase started smoking, and these two reactions took place. One of the guys saw the briefcase smoking, and he started backing off. I might have done that. Another one saw it smoking, and he reacted, and he ran over there, grabbed that smoking suitcase, grabbed it, and you could watch the video as he ran out of an exit to safety to get all the passengers out of harm's way. And I thought, hey, that's the way to do it, buddy. Way to go. Aren't you thankful for everybody and every level of our community and our culture and our nation, law enforcement officers and people there, for everyone that works, firemen, first responders that help keep us safe. Give them a hand right now. Thank God for people that try to keep us safe. I think if I'd had that bag, I would have run a little bit faster than him, probably broke an Olympic record getting out of there, 4-2, 40-yard dash or something. But there is something inside of you that longs to be safe. And when Paul writes from prison in Philippians 4:19, and he says, my God shall supply all of your needs. Everyone say the word all. My God will supply all of your needs, your need for safety. The safety that you want for your family is a part of that Philippians 4:19 equation. In fact, if you'll look at the bottom of that verse, it says, to God be the glory. So when your needs are met, no matter where they are, there's an opportunity for God to be glorified. And in the next 25 or 30 minutes, we are going to join in the Word of God and have a rich biblical lesson teaching life journey on how God wants to meet you and your family's need for safety. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy of need, you'll notice this, that your basic need, just to breathe and have air and to sleep, is very basic. And once you get that, 95% of the world's population, 98% of the world's population have food and shelter and clothing and decent air to breathe. Then after you move there, you get to move up to this need for safety. If you kind of look on that chart, next week we'll be teaching about your need for relationships and friendships. But until you're safe with someone, you're not going to build a relationship with them. Until your family's security is taken care of, you're not worried about the next level. And Maslow was just a secularist, a psychologist, and he was just looking at your heart, and he said, you have these needs, and this is what we're saying this week and this month at Chapel Hill. Let the secular sociologist, psychologist define what our needs are. We're just looking at Philippians 4:19, and we're saying whatever needs you think we have, and if they're legitimate, our God promises to meet all of them according to his riches in glory. I want to tell you, last week I was speaking at Douglasville, and I was here on video. If you missed last week's message on basic needs, please go online and listen to the first introductory message on how God wants to meet your basic needs. But as we look at just the need for safety, I want you to look at the heart of David over in Psalms 4:8, because as we look at these words and these verses on safety out of the heart of David, you know what I think we see? I think we see we should never take the privilege of being safe for granted. I want you to look at this verses with me. He says, in peace I will lay down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will I be allowed to dwell in safety. Huh? I want you to notice David. His needs wasn't on a higher level tier. It was just like, if I can just put my head down on this rock in this cave while Saul is hunting me down, and the Lord will keep me safe through the night, then I am thankful that God is my Lord. If you're thankful that you can sleep at night because you're in a safe dwelling place, would you give the Lord a hand of appreciation? Right? Just to sleep in safety. And then notice this next verse, Miss Lily. It says this, that I'm going to live in peace. Let all the people that love the Lord rejoice, who take refuge. And notice this, Mom and Dad, because this is your primary role, that the Lord, He spreads protection over all of His people. A big canopy, a supernatural canopy of protection over your daughter, over your wife, over your husband, over your grandkids, is what the Lord wants to provide for you. Mom and Dad, this is your main mission with your children, to point your children to authentic faith and to get them to buy in. Everybody shout the word buy in. To God's order of living in safety and security. If you can get your kids and the children under you to understand the Lord wants to meet your need for you to have a long and healthy, prosperous, blessed life, but you have to participate with Him in His apparatus of protecting you. And when you get buy-in from your teenager, then you have fulfilled your God-ordained role as a mom and dad to a great extent. And then notice almost our memory verse today. Psalms chapter 11, verse number 1, read it with me. I trust in the Lord for protection. I trust in the Lord for protection. I want to stop right now because every one of you have got trips. Every one of you are going through sometimes dangerous neighborhoods. And I want to pray right now. Turn the palms of your hands toward heaven. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would spread a canopy of protection and supernatural security over everyone hearing your word today. Not that we'd be frivolous and get ourselves in harm's way without listening to you, but we can be filled with gladness because the Lord is our protector. Somebody thank God with me right now. Hallelujah to the Lord. Now let's dig into the richness of God's word. Talk about needing God's direction for security. The children of Israel were moving into the Golan Heights. They were moving into Canaan. And if you have any times during your work week when you feel a little insecure or you're in a little bit of danger, God's people had it on steroids. And at the end of this service, if you're single and you live alone, I don't want you to run to lunch until you let one of our prayer partners pray for protection and security over your dwelling. If you travel and you have to go through difficult places that what my daughter would say is a little sketchy, but you got to do that to work, or I want you to come and I want our prayer partners to have a special prayer for this need. But I want you to notice the children of Israel were going into the land of Hittites and Canaanites. And in Exodus 23, it is an amazing chapter, and there's more to it than I could ever teach in the next 20 minutes. Because this is almost like the safety chapter. I want you to listen to my word. I want you to do what I tell you as you go into this demonized culture. You're going to have peril after peril. But if you will listen to me, I will put layer after layer of security and protection around your life for your blessing and for my name's sake. And if you studied this, Kelvin, I guarantee you could study more than 5 layers of protection. There's 8. I found 8 in my own personal study. But in the next few minutes, I want to identify 5 layers of protection God gave His people when they were about to move into very, very hazardous territory. In fact, before we get there, if you drop down in your own personal study, we don't have it on the screen, but Exodus 23, 29, and 30, listen to this. God says this, and he says it about you right now. He says, I could go in, and I could remove all the things that resist you and stand against you immediately. I could do it in one day, but I don't. And listen, this is rich stuff. I could remove all the Canaanites and the Hittites and all the Philistines immediately. I could remove all the perils to your life in the sweep of my hand, but I don't. Because if I did that prematurely and instantly, then the wild beasts would come on and take over the crops and take over the field, and the wild animals, this is verse 29 of chapter 23, read it later on this afternoon, would take over the land and you would be destroyed by the wild. Now listen to what I want you to get, this one nugget. Sometimes you say, God, why do I have to face this? And God is saying, I could take that out right now, but you're not ready for what's coming after this. Are you getting this? I could remove this from you right now, but if I move the season in your life, when the wild come, you think those Canaanites are wild? You think those Jebusites are wild and the Perizzites? I want to, you just wait till those wild beasts come. But after you've learned to deal with the challenges of this layer, then you're ready for your harvest. You're ready for the fruit that I have intended. So be faithful right now. Little by little, little by little, I will grow you and I prepare you and I will not get you there too soon. Come on, somebody. This is good truth from ancient teaching from the Word of the Lord. But the first level, we're going to build five right now. Five walls are going to protect your daughter. Five walls that's going to protect your sons, your grandkids, are going to protect you. Layer number one in Exodus 23 verse 1 said is you need to understand that I want you protected from wicked people. Wicked people. When you go into this land, you're going to see people that are demonized. And if you'll just look at that verse. Well, I don't want you to join their gang. I don't want you to be influenced by their personality. You see, when wicked people lure you into their world. And the prodigal son, he walked away from a relationship with family and mom and dad and attached himself to what scripture says, some lewd people. These people that threaten your security, that God would say are wicked, it's not that they don't have captivating personalities. In fact, they do. And here's where the bottom line is. They might have warmth, they might have charm, they might have charisma, they may be fun to be around, they know how to do the nightlife, but the thing about it is, their actions hurt God. Their actions are selfish in nature. And here's the challenge, when people are so fun, and so captivating, and so charismatic, we kind of push aside how they hurt the heart of God. Just because they're so fun to be around. And God is telling his people, I want to protect you, but if you don't look at what people do instead of how much you enjoy them, they will lure you into their world, and before you'll know it, you will not have your future and your destiny, and you will not have the harvest and the legacy that I want you to have. If you want to do a study in the Word of God about how people can be fun but still the wrong people for you, read the book of Jude. I wrote a book on it to my daughters. All young ladies, I'll give you a copy on the way out. All single young men, I'll give you a copy. Because the Bible says, watch out for men who creep into your life and slip into your life. And boy, on the outside, they got it all, but they're toxic beneath the skin. Yeah. But you say, well, Pastor, what about the verse where we're supposed to be a friend to sinners? Absolutely. When we really become Christ-like, then we're able to maneuver in circles where people don't know the Lord at all. But look at Exodus 23, and it's actually 32 and 33. It was my bad, not Chapel Hill, that messed up. I'll own my own mistakes. That verse 23 is actually 32. And notice what it says, don't covenant with people that are not walking in relationship with the living God. They're going to have idols. They're going to be doing all types of quote unquote spiritual stuff. And don't covenant with them, because if you do, they will cause you to sin. Now here's the bottom line. Listen to me. This is Daddy, Pastor Daddy, Danny, spiritual father talking right now. You got to know where you are in the Lord. Because when you first give your life to Jesus, if you run back out to your buddies at the bar and you sit there with them, before long you're going to be back and lose all the headway you just made. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in a verse talking about how to break addictions. I'll teach it someday. The first point is bad, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So this just makes sense. When you're trying to get out of something, at first you may have to pull away from your old friends who are hurting God. Not forever, but till you get your spiritual identity established. 2 weeks we're preaching on your need for identity. Come back and get it. It will help you. But until you know who you are, and until you move beyond their compromise and their sin is still a threat to your own personal dedication, then you got to pull away. You got to pull away. Not that you don't love them, but in the future you'll be able to come back and love them and have fun with them when their heart toward darkness is not a seduction to your own spiritual future. And you don't get there immediately. I want you to think about something for a moment. How did Daniel get so well protected in the lion's den? Because he didn't allow the king's sin to be his sin. He lived holy in the midst of wicked people. Praise the Lord. Let me ask the same question. How did the three Hebrew children march into the fiery furnace and God protected them? And Nebuchadnezzar said, I thought there's only three guys in there. I see a fourth. Looks like the Son of God has showed up. How did those guys have such security in the middle of a fiery furnace? It's because those young men refused to bow down to the idol of adultery, of idolatry in their culture. And when God saw that they could mix with the heathen and they would never compromise their righteousness, he sent them back into the fabric of government. He sent them back into the fabric of commerce and said, now you can be the light and the witness to the people who need it the most, and you can be a friend to sinners. Layer number one, right there in the Word. Then you go to verse number 12 and you see layer number two. And layer number two is the need for rest. God says, I don't care who you are, how spirit-filled you are, and how holy you are. If you do not honor me with rest on the Sabbath, you will not be able to live in security in the land that I'm sending you to conquer. We sang it today. You won't do it. Oh, you can shout, you can sing, you can pray, but if you're exhausted, you will not be able to carry your sword. And Christians are not exempt. Oh, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I can work 24/7, 7 days a week, week after week, and I will never have exposure to the devil. Wrong. Wrong. God created you. In the manufacturer's book, it says, I want you to have a break once a week. Now, we already taught a whole service on this, so I'm not going to spend much time, but I want you to look at this verse. Have you ever worked for a firm that's relentless and they don't ever give you a break, and you got to go 24/7 or you're never going to get anywhere, and all of a sudden you start realizing, I don't have a life. This whole business plan is not working for everyone around me. Look at this. When you see this verse, I see it all over. You know what I see? When you rest, you release prosperity over the long haul. Not immediate prosperity. Not a quick jump, but the long haul. Everybody say, I'm in it for the long haul. You know, it says, so when you rest, you've got this long haul. Notice the order. I want your slave. Oh, God's given permission to have a slave. I want the alien. Ooh, God welcomes alien. What's going on? You know, listen, this stuff, don't discount how benevolent the heart of God is, because this is a whole thing that I need to teach about slavery in the Bible and aliens in the Bible, because there's much to it. But notice, just let me say this. God is always ahead in the area of human rights. Before women was treated like humans, they were like barn animals. In the Old Testament, God was telling people, to men, to love their husbands as God. God is always ahead. And this is dynamic information. Be kind to your slave and let him have some rest. The godless man was beating him on the seventh day. Get up and work again. The alien, you need to have some concern for your animal. And when you honor the Lord with rest, your farm, your business is not filled with dysfunction. There's long-term prosperity. The culture is something that is sustainable, all because you're in the second layer of God's desire for you when your security is threatened. Then we go into the third layer. So these are so many here, I can only just practically mention. We've got the layer of understanding the role of moving with wicked people. I love people, people that don't have faith, people that don't love God. I love them. I'm not going to let them take me down spiritually. I'm going to have my rest. The next thing is for love for the Lord's house. Oh, I want to ask you a question as you look at this verse, layer number three. Do you have any idea? Can a human even comprehend how much protection to our lives come because we dare to be a part of a community at a local church? It says, bring the best to the Lord's day. I want to ask you, not only to bring your tithe and offering, and Malachi chapter 3 says, if you'll bring your tithe into the storehouse, you know what I'll do? I'll rebuke bugs from your garden. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. I will cause the nutrients in the ground that is growing your vineyard to be richer than those that don't have it. And I will protect you. I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll rebuke your adversary, and I'll open up a window of heaven if you'll bring the first fruits of your labor to the Lord. Praise God. But we shouldn't only bring the best of our earnings to the Lord's house, we ought to bring our best. I mean, when we come to worship, let's bring our best worship. When we're attentive to the Word of God, you don't have to say amen to me. I don't care about that. But you know what I want? I want you to love God's Word, not the presentation of God's Word, but God's Word so much. It's like the most quality 30 minutes you have every week is on the edge of your seat right now, wanting principles from the Word of God to come into you. Bring your best hunger for the Word. We're going to have group link, and you'll have an opportunity to have new friends and small groups, and when you go to bring your best and give it your all. And it says, when you bring your best to the Lord's house, something wonderful happens. I protect you. I want to ask you, when you are really faithful to church and you're worshiping the Lord regularly, how many different ways does protection come into your life? Number one, I want to tell you what coming to church does for you. It protects you from the devil, because the devil cannot deal with thus saith the Lord, his word. And every time you get a new dose of the Word of God in you and Satan tries to come in and take you out, and you've been in the Lord's house receiving the Word of God, you know what's coming out of you? The same thing that came out of Jesus when he sent the devil running on the Mount of Temptation. A man shall not live by bread alone, but I got some Word in me, Satan, and you're not going to take my family out because I honor God's Word being ingested into my life. You know what coming to the Lord's house does for you? What? It protects you from yourself. Come on. It does. I'll just speak for me. If I didn't have you to worship and a local church to grow in, it's so cool that the young adults go out and eat every weekend after church on Sunday and that type of small group. They're missing, skipping this week. But to have that type of fellowship, I mean, self can carry you to places that you really don't want to go. How many of you ever looked yourself in the mirror and go, oh, I'm the biggest problem in this equation? Somebody raise your hand. Act like you live in the same world I do, please. It protects your family, the church. You can't be by your kid all the time. But that one person that's so full of the Lord, so full of life, that when your kid meets them, they go, I want to be like that. Is priceless. You don't have to have a church of thousands for your family to be impacted by one life. I had all my staff in Birmingham years ago, and we had some of the most dynamic young men there. We had youth pastor, children's pastor, assistant pastor, worship leader, all these dynamic, you know, all these guys. And I looked at them, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I may say this a lot in this pulpit. I looked at those guys, and I said, did the local church fail you guys growing up as teenagers? And they looked at me like I was nuts because they're all in full-time ministry. If it failed us, why would we be here? I said, I just want to make sure we're not failing these teenagers. And every one of them said, Pastor Danny, the local church didn't fail me as a teenager, but it would have if not for one person at that church that was so full of the Lord. Just one, that I wanted to be like them so bad. And that one person made all the difference in my faith journey. That's why I'm saying when you come to the Lord's house, bring your best, because there's somebody that you're going to meet that's going to see the glory of God upon your heart and in your life. And you may never hear them say it, but they're going to say, I want to serve Jesus like you serve the Lord. And the church protects your kids because they meet people that are going the right direction for his glory and for his praise. And then after you get it, okay, I'm going into Canaan land. I got battles. There's people that want to take me out, but I'm okay because I got this layer of understanding about relationship with wicked people. I laugh with them. We do business with each other. We have fun. I just don't fall into sin with them. I'm getting enough rest so I'm not making stupid decisions out of fatigue. I'm in the Lord's house faithfully, and the Holy Spirit just renews me every weekend for the work week in a powerful way. So I got layer one down. I got layer two down. I got layer three down. Layer number four is one that I believe if you'll listen to me, you can strengthen and fortify. How many of you are ready to build one of the layers a little bit stronger than you've ever had it? It's the layer of protection called heavenly host or angels. You're going into a very hazardous area. But as you go, I want to send the angels of the Lord around you as you're driving down the 400. I want you to be a person that attracts angels. I want to talk to you honestly right now. I believe in the next 5 or 10, maybe 6 minutes that I'm on this point, or four, that what I'm about to tell you will increase your security and protection by having angels when they're off, hang out around you in force. I want to tell you something about angels. If you believe the Bible, you believe in angels. Angels cannot read your mind. They can't. Demons can't read your mind. And angels cannot read your mind. Now, God can read your mind, but angels can't read your mind. So the only thing angels have to go on that you would enjoy their company is your actions, your expressions, your outward words. So if you want angels to hang around you, there's some things that sometimes the devil will shoot a fiery dart at me, and I don't want to do anything visible to let the devil know he's getting to me. Does that make sense? Listen to me. I don't want any darkness, any demons to say, oh boy, that's really getting to Duval. I'm just like, nah, it's not. But I don't want to send any signals to fallen angels that, oh boy, that's Brother Danny's weak spot right here. Come on, let's pour it on right now. No, I just want to move on and level up. But let me tell you, if you want angels to gather around you a little bit stronger, then I want to ask you to let the heavenlies see visibly that you love to worship and praise Jesus Christ. You know what angels like? Worship. You know what angels love to do? Cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Anybody willing to do that in this room right here? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And when you're going down the road or you're walking through the airport and you're just having that little bitty one-on-one praise service by yourself, Hadley, and you're going there and these angels that are off assignment, they're kind of getting a 10-minute break from ever guarding everybody or whatever, and they're only, they hear you praising, going down that highway. All of a sudden, they hear you listening to worship music, driving around the perimeter. They go, hey, that's our kind of thing. And you may think I'm a little mystical. I believe I'm right on. You have extra angels come around and say, I love this worship service that Danny is creating right now to the glory of the Lord. I was out, listen to this. I was out on a dirt road in Alabama. You know where Clinton, Alabama is. There was a big youth camp out there, and for 16 years I'd preach 7 weeks, and Gayla would go with me to youth camps across America, and we spoke to thousands of teenagers. And these weeks at camp were some of the most historic and spiritually pivotal weeks in these teenagers' lives. And one of the privileges of my life, and Pastor Dave was the director of the Indiana camp, and he was the administrator, and I was out, you know, preparing the sermon. And all over America, from Northern Cal to New York to Pennsylvania to Florida and everywhere in between, outside the camps are dirt roads and ravines and brooks and rivers and trails where I would spend hours praying for the destinies of the teenagers in those camps. And I've had a lot of spiritual warfare in my life, but nothing was intense of those youth camp services, because you had 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds, and that week was going to determine if they were going to be Jesus people or let the devil take them out. You know what I'm saying? And I was out, and I've prayed in all these places, and the warfare over these kids' souls and futures were so strong. And one time I was praying on a dirt road in Alabama, and I was just worshiping, trying to have a relevant word for those kids. And there was such a sense that angels were all around me. It's like, whoa. Because I was just out all by myself crying out for these teenagers. And I think my angel said, hey, guys. Well, angels are neuter, so. Come on over here. And it was just like this uncanny reality that I was not alone. And it wasn't just the Holy Spirit. It was like a bunch of angels that were in charge of protecting these kids throughout the next school year. It was like watching this guy pray for their future. And I just looked at the invisible. I said, I know you angels are here. I'm kind of competitive in nature. I like to compete. And I know angels love to worship. So I just said, now you can, you don't have to come to church again here because you think I'm nuts. But this is, okay. But I'm out here, and I said, I tell you what, angels, I can't see. I know you're there, but I want to tell you what. I'm going to get into a praising Jesus contest with all of you. And I couldn't hear them, but they were all in. And here we go. I threw my hand out there. No one was around. I said, holy is the Lord. You know what they did? They went, holy, holy, holy. I said, great is the Lord. They said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I said, he is the Alpha, and they finished, and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And every time I was out there worshiping the Lord, those angels were just partying. I was dancing a little bit before the Lord, and they were out dancing me. And we were just having this competitive worshiping Jesus contest, which is what the angels love and what I love. And finally, I said, oh, I got them now. I started saying, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, washed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins have been removed by the power of the cross. And I broke the tape ahead of the angels because they couldn't say how wonderful it is to be washed in the blood of Jesus. What are you saying? I'm saying if you want angels to multiply around you, then don't just worship the Lord in the solitude of your heart. Send them a signal with a hand raised toward heaven. Send them a signal with a hallelujah out of your mouth. Send them a signal with a sparkle in your eye. Praise him outwardly, and as you do, angels will come and say, I want to hang around them. Come on, fellas, this is what we like to do, partying and celebrating people who know how great and awesome and mighty the living God is. Protect yourself as you worship the Lord. Come on, right now. I want you to put your hands together. I want you to lift your voices. Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord in the house. Praise the Lord. I love you, Lord. Attract angels. And finally, the final layer is wisdom. I want you to listen to the messenger of the Lord. Layer number five. Now, I want to help you here, and I want to tell you what wisdom is. You're going to have a lot of voices come into your life. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is life principles that come from the authority of God's heart and word. So wisdom, it may not sound like it when you hear it, but wisdom has its principles in Scripture. And the more you hear the word, the more you feel your ability to speak in wisdom. The word of wisdom is defined in part, a spiritual gift, is when you're in conversation with someone and they're able to reach into their journey of faith and pull a scripture or a principle out of scripture, out of the wellspring of their journey, and share it with you for that particular issue. And you go, oh, that's, and the word of wisdom. One of the wisest men I've ever sat under, and I want you to hear this, is Jack Hayford. And I would go out to Jack Hayford's seminary. He's a charismatic theologian, wordsmith. He's one of the finest human beings that's ever lived spiritually. And I love him. But I would sit under him, and I'd go out there several times, and I would notice how he talked. This is how wisdom talks. He would say, listen, Daddy, because I want you to talk this way. If you're going to get your kids to buy into God's security system, then you have to be careful that the mechanism that you instruct your kids to is something they can receive it in. Now listen, wives and husbands. Men, if you're speaking wisdom out of a chauvinistic, authoritative, you shut up, get in place, and hear what I have to say, I'm the man around here, you're not going to be heard. And wives, if the wisdom that flows out of you is in that naggy, come on, somebody say amen right now. That naggy, don't. Hear me, ladies, hear me, men. God has given you so much wisdom. Don't destroy it with the mechanism in which you deliver it. Oh, I'm going to say that again. God has given you so much wisdom. Don't destroy it in the way you deliver it. But wisdom talks this way. Honey, if we go that route, pendulum will swing this way. If we go this way, we'll end up over here. Huh, I think you're right. Well, I think wisdom, I think God-honoring direction, we'd be about right here. Not maybe 50-50, but right on this time, but maybe right here. And when you surround yourself with people, they'll speak wisdom. You'll find yourself secure and safe. And you'll look at your life and you'll do your assignment with all kinds of issues of jeopardy and harm's way. But nothing keeps you back. You don't run from your calling. And you don't rise up and try to take everybody on. You just do what God's called you to do in the midst of it all. Because you know what? You're moving and you trust the protection of the Lord. And because you're not letting wicked people to order your steps, because you're getting enough rest, because you're faithful to the Lord's house, because you're a visible worshiper of Jesus Christ and you're layered with an audience of angels, and because you hunger for godly wisdom, your need for safety and security will be met. Close your eyes with me right now. If you're here right now and you say, Brother Danny, I want to be safe. But right now, I have some exposure in my life to the darkness and to the devil because there's some compromise in my life. There's some failure in my life. Really, it's sin. There's some things I've been doing that I know is hurting God. And I'm not saying it's the devil, but it's me. Sometimes I think I'm my greatest, worst enemy. But today, I want to make a fresh commitment to Jesus. And I want to ask the Lord to forgive me and to cleanse me and to make my heart perfectly holy right now. And I want to do that by an act of humility, by saying I've sinned and I need the Lord to forgive me. I'm going to count to three. And I want you to let just the protection of the blood of Jesus come over you right now. One, two, three. Just raise your hand right now. Thank you. Just raise. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up. I want you, everyone, not just the 12 that raised their hand, I want everyone to pray this out loud. Angels are listening and so are demons. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Almighty God, for protecting me. I am safe in you. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of any of my sins. Protect me this week. Protect those I love this week. And let me be courageous in the land you've called me to conquer. I am clean. I am holy. I am forgiven. And I am secure. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give the Lord one great big hand right now. Praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen.